This week, Parshas Shlach Lecha, the story of the spies that Moshe sent into the land of Canaan. God says to Moshe, Shlach Lecha, send for you. And so there isn't a command that God commands. You know, it's like, you want to send. And even though if you compare that to Lech Lecha, which is understood to be a command from God to go to Avraham, to go from wherever he was, Haran, or to go to spy out the land of Canaan. And there we say Lech Lecha L'toivoscha. Rashi says go for you, meaning for your own sake, for your benefit. So why here we would assume that the Lech Lecha, go for you, means go for you if you want. I'm not telling you to go. Because it's very hard to associate goodness with the story, with the events that unfold. So the Torah tells us that the spies went and they spent 40 days spying out the land. Now, 40 days, there already you have the clue. You know, Moshe comes down from the mountain after 40 days, and we are worshipping the golden calf. And here, after 40 days, the spies come back, and the Torah tells us, Vayutziu Dibas Sa'oretz, they brought back this really bad report. And they said, the land that we've gone to look at, Latur Oiso, Eretz Oicheles Yoshveohi, it's a land that eats its own people, meaning it's such an unhealthy land. And don't think it's because, you know, people were weak, you know. It's not because people were weak. The people that we saw, they were strong people, but the land is so bad. So even if we are stronger than them, it's going to kill us. We saw the giants. We were in their eyes like grasshoppers. So the Torah tells us, "Vatisu chala edo, vayitnu es kolam, vayivku ha'om balaylo ahu." So that night, all the congregation raised their voice and they started to cry. So Rashi says, "What does it mean, kol ha'edo?" When the Torah says kol ha'edo, the whole congregation, it means the Sanhedrin. So the heads of the people were crying. It's not the common people who were frightened by, you know, stories, rumors, wars and rumors of wars. No, this is the Sanhedrin. These are the heads. They're crying all night. Vayiloinu yom Moshe al Aaron kol b'nei Yisrael, and the whole Jewish people start to complain and murmur against Moshe and Aaron, and they and kol ha'edo vayomru aleihem kol ha'edo. Again, we've got the Sanhedrin approaches Moshe, and they say, "Lumasnu be'eretz Mitzrayim, halavai we would have died in Egypt, oy b'midbar hazeh, or maybe even in this desert, in this wilderness, lumasnu halavai, if only we had died." Why does God bring us into the land to fall at the sword? Nashenu tapenu yilavaz, our children and our wives and children will be just spoiled. Better go back. Where for us is better to go back to Egypt. And one man said to the other, Nitna roish v'noshuvo Mitzrayim. Let's appoint a head and go back to Egypt. At that point, Moshe and Aaron fall on their face in front of the whole congregation of assembled Jewish people, and you know, Moshe even gives a repetition of those Shloishes Remidos, these 13 principles of mercy that he talks about when we worship the golden calf, right? And he says, Hashem, Hashem, Kerachem, V'chanun, Erechapayim, V'rav Chesed, V'emes. So now, here, Moshe gets up and he says, Hashem, he doesn't say twice Hashem, he just says, Hashem, Erechapayim, V'rav Chesed, Noisa'ove. He leaves out the word emes. There's a few differences here. But basically, he's pleading on behalf of the Jewish people. Slachnu la'avoinu amazeh kigoyda chazdecho. Please forgive the people. Kash and asosul amazeh mitzrayim. Like you've carried the people from Egypt until now. Vayom Hashem, God said, Salachti kidvorecho. I've forgiven them like you say. V'ulam, however, God says, Chai oni. I swear by my own life. Those sinners are not going to be forgiven. They will not go into the land. And even though I've forgiven the people in general, I've not forgiven them, and they're all going to die. It doesn't matter what they do now, there's no prayer that they can pray. There is no action that they can take that's going to save their life. God has sworn to kill them to the last one. Except for Kalev, Ben Yefune and Yehoshua ben Nun, they're the only ones who survive. The Pusuk says in Akev, in Deuteronomy, when Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the Jewish people about their history and what they've done and this and that, and the Gemara says that from the way he juxtaposes the different events, that when the Yidden said, Nitno Roish v'noshuvu Mitzrayimu, when they said, let's appoint a head and go back to Egypt, that Kosher, Hayoim Ahu Hayo Kosher, Kiyoim Shechotu Be'egel. That day was as difficult, as painful, as challenging, as scary, as the day that they worshipped the golden calf. And in fact, Rashi says, Nitna Roish, what does it mean when they say, let us appoint a head? It means they said, we want another God. We want another God. Rashi says, Nitna Roish v'rabbi seinu zichroinam levrocha perishu loshoin avoida zora. We want another God. What causes a head of the Sanhedrin to say to Moshe, we want another God? And, you know, we were learning over the weeks back in the book of Exodus when we were talking about the sin of the golden calf, you know, how something good comes of it. That, you know, we said, we want God's who will walk before us. And we said to Aaron, you know, we want you to be the priest of that, you know, so we eventually got what we wanted, and God said, okay, you know, there was an amtala, you know, there was an excuse, there was a rationalization. We, you know, it didn't start with us, it started with the Erev Rav. It was a movement, an emotional time, you know, we thought Moshe was dead. We had all kinds of excuses for our behavior, and really we were expressing, as we've said, we were expressing our deepest desire to have God with us. Not, we didn't want like a Moshe figure who would go up to heaven and bring down a Torah. We wanted a relationship with God here on earth that some priest could help us develop. And so that was this, you know, the movement in the golden calf that ultimately, you know, needed to be corrected, but it came from a really good place. It came from a really holy place. And we said that Tiferes, you know, the glory of God is that ability to look at the Jewish people in their sin and to see that it comes from that deepest desire that God would say, you know, Yisrael Asher b'choy espoy, Jewish people, you are the people in whom I glory. You are, I take pleasure even in your mistakes, even in your sins, because they're coming from this place. Here, when we sinned at the time of the spies and we didn't want to go into the land, we had no excuse. And it didn't start with the Erev, it didn't start with this mixed multitude of foreigners that was walking with us that, you know, got spooked. And you know, their spookedness sort of like carried in this mass hysteria that we could make an excuse, as we did by the Golden Calf. This is not what happened. It starts with the head of the Sanhedrin, and it goes, and they it's hard to believe what they say. Nitna Roish. You know, there are other things that they say there that are hard to get. You know, when they came back originally and they started to talk bad, and Yehoshua and Kalev, you know, they tried to argue. And they said, nah, we can beat them. Lachameinu heim. They're our bread. We can eat them for breakfast. They're nothing. And the people said, no. The other spies, they said, no. They said, ki chazaku mimeni. He's stronger than us. There's no way we can rise up against that people. He's stronger than us. And Rashi brings the Gemara from Soida. They were saying it against God. You know, it's not Mimenu. They're not stronger than us. They're stronger than God. Yeah, how do people come to say such a thing and believe it and mean it? You know, when Rashi there in Parshas Ekev in Deuteronomy talks about how the day that this happened is as provoking to God as the worshipping of the golden calf, that's not easily, you know, just set aside. It wasn't just a sprechwort, you know, it's not just something somebody threw out there. That's real. There's something going on here which is in its darkness, it's ultimate. Right? I mean, what would make a Jew say, I want another God? I want a different one. And it's something that the Chachamim don't really talk about. What did it mean when they said we want another God? Were they proposing, like the time of Aaron, where it ended up being this golden calf, whatever that meant? I mean, why the Jewish people would suddenly settle for this molten calf image when they had seen, you know, God at the Red Sea splitting the sea and all the plagues in Egypt. It's hard to get into that headspace and imagine what they were thinking. But here, we're not even told what they were suggesting when they said Nitna Roish V'Noshuva Mitzrayim. Let's have a set up another God and repent. You know, let's do Teshuva on leaving Egypt. Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of funny, right? It's funny. All right, let's do tshuva on leaving Egypt. You know, in the weeks on Parshas Bamidbar that we've been in Sefer Bamidbar, the weeks that we've been learning this book of Numbers, where you know, every week there seems to be one blunder deeper than another. And we said, we've quoted the Gemara in Gittin that says, Ein Adam Oimed al Divrei Torah Elim Kein Nichshel Behem, that a person can never really get the meaning of a Torah until he's stumbled. You know, so we make mistakes, and through this mistake, you know, comes a deeper understanding of the meaning of the mitzvah, the commandment, why God commanded it, and really it's only through breaking the law that we become aware of the importance of the law, and that's how we've been teaching these weeks. But really there's a deeper meaning, which is that you don't even get the Torah, you don't get the mitzvah, God doesn't give it to you until you ruin something, until you break something. And here we break something really, really deep. So deep, we break something so important, so primal, that God says, I'm not forgiving. I'm not forgiving. It doesn't matter what you do or say. That's it. You ruined it and it's broken. And your children, I'm going to take care of, but you are dead. You're the walking dead. I let you live out, you know, as a sinecure. You can have a life of a certain number of years, but and in this week's Sedra, we have the Torah talks about kisishku. If a person makes a mistake, v'loisasu es kol ha-mitzvos, and you don't do all these mitzvos, and it talks about a sin offering, what happens if the whole Jewish people worship idols by mistake? And Rashi, even though it doesn't mention avodah zarah, it says v'chisishgu v'loisasu es kol ha-mitzvos, and if you make an error and you don't do all these. And you don't do all these mitzvahs, all these commandments. And the Gemara says, what does it talk about all these mitzvahs? It means really one mitzvah that weighs all the other mitzvahs. Which mitzvah on its own can outweigh all the others? And that's the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yeh lecha. I'm Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Do not have any other gods. So that's one mitzvah that, you know, if you break that one, if you don't keep that one, it's like it outweighs all the others. So the Chachamim ask why this sin offering that we bring by accidentally, like what has it to do in this week's Sedra? And the answer is again, because in this week's Sedra, really we got to that stage of idol worship. So it really belongs here, not in the book of Leviticus, because this is like really where we sunk down to the deepest level. And there, as a result of the mistake that we made this week, we lost heart in a way that was almost impossible to fix. We realized that what we had done is reject the land of Israel. And, you know, like Shlomo used to say, you can tell what level a person's soul, like where they are in their karmic cycle. You can tell, like, how evolved the soul of a person is by his relationship with the land of Israel. There are people who just are very far from it. And there are people who, like, even if they can't live there in fact, but virtually, their soul is like there. Like Yehuda Alev used to say, "Libi b'mizrach v'ani b'soif marav." My heart is in the east, but my body is in the you know, Finisterre, like the end of the western lands. You know, a person can be in one place, but if his mind, if his heart, if his Machashov and his kavana is in another place. Where his machashov and kavana is, that's where he is. And when you hear somebody talking about the land of Israel, there's you can tell like where they are up to in their Gilgul. So here, when the Yidden realized what had happened, they said to themselves, you know, here we thought we were the people who got the Torah on Sinai. We are the Dor Deah. We are the generation of the mind. We are going to be like the minds of the Jewish people for all generations. They're going to be reflections of us who stood at Sinai, and they're going to, you know, we're going to split into millions and millions of children and grandchildren, all going to be carrying these memories that we have of Sinai. We must be really prototypes, you know? And then they realize, what? We're prototypes? Well, we're the lowest of the low. We're so low that we couldn't even hang on to the most basic thing. We don't have the Torah. We don't have anything. If we don't have a connection to the land of Israel to want to go in there, then who are we? What are we? And we know that the women, they didn't say that. Tnu lanu achuzo, the women said to Moshe, Give us a piece of land, you know, give us a piece of land. They didn't ask questions, they would have walked in. And one of the great mysteries is that the land was divided among the men and not among the women. So, the Ishbitzer Rebbe says that when the story of the Meraglim was over, that the Jewish people felt that they had really broken their covenant with God in a way that was couldn't be fixed, and they had a nefilas hamoichin, that their minds really fell into a despair, and they thought, we have really offended. We haven't just done something offensive, right? But we've really deeply offended God in a way that rejects the basics. So then we are given in the Torah Parshas Nesachim. In this week's Sedra, we're told, and it's interesting how in chapter 15, it says, Vayedaber Shem Moshe Lemon, God spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, tell them, Kisavoyu el Eretz Moshe Vaysech. When you come to the land of your dwelling place, which I'm giving you. So first of all, as Rashi notes, Kisavoyu, here God is telling them, you are coming. You're going into the land, and stop worrying. And then we're given the Parshas Nesachim that if you bring an offering, different kinds of offerings, you take wine and you offer it at the same time as you offer this sacrifice, which is going to be burnt on the altar. You offer wine which gets poured on the foundation around the side of the altar. There was like a foundation block on which it was built, and the wine was poured through the corners of the altar and it went down into the earth. And the Medrash Tanchuma, he introduces this parasha with a quote from Koheles, from Ecclesiastes, that begins, Lech echo besimcho lachmecho, go, eat your bread in joy, ushsei belev toiv yenoch, and drink your wine with a good heart. After everything is all over, God gives us the mitzvah of nesochim, of pouring wine on the altar to accompany the sacrifice. So the Gemara has got an interesting Gemara, Agadah. The Gemara says that, you know, King David really wanted to build the temple. And to that end, you know, he conquered Jerusalem and he bought the Temple Mount from the family that owned it, and he prepared everything he wanted, and God said to him, no, you're not the man to build this temple. You're a man of war, you're a warrior, needs a man of peace. Your son Shlomo's name means peace, he's the one. Among the preparations that David did is that he dug the shittin, he dug the holes through which the water and the wine was going to go down when it was poured on the altar. And the Gemara says that he dug all the way down to the Tehom. He dug holes all the way down to the abyss. And in fact, the water that's down there threatened to come up and flood the whole world. Until King David prayed for it to stop. What does it mean? What does it mean that King David dug the holes that go all the way down to the abyss? What is the abyss? The abyss is that place where there's no light. It's the paradigm of the darkest place. But you know, there is no place with no light. Everything is light. That's all there is. E equals mc squared. That's what everything is. But it, as a metaphor, it's the place where the light is most hidden. And King David, he dug the holes all the way down to where the light is most hidden. Because he could have said no to the sins that he committed. And the Gemara says, David HaMelech said to God, "Between you and me, we know. My Yitzhara was dead. I didn't have evil inclination. I didn't have the strength. I killed my whole body with fasting. When did I eat? I spent my whole life praying and just did I have the strength, the energy, the juice to go and sin with Bathsheba? Where was Shigemitar? I didn't have it in me." You know what, God? If people were to know this, it wouldn't be nice because, they'd say God tested him, God tested David, and David won. He won the test. God lost the bet. Is that nice? God, I'm your servant. I'm your slave. Ani avdecha ben amasecha. I don't want to look good. There's no joy in a slave looking good and the master having chagrin. There's no joy. I want you to look good. Leman titzdak bedabrecha. You should come out right. That's all I care about. So, whatever sins you need me to do, I'm happy to do them for you. But between you and me, we know the truth, right? That's what the Gemara says about King David. And that's what it means to dig all the way down to the abyss. What's King David's reward? Everything that happens to the temple, you know what's going on in the background? They're singing King David's psalms. The Levites, day and night, if there's something happening in the temple, the Levites are in the background singing Tehillim. If it's Shabbos, it's Shabbos. If it's Lesoida, it's Lesoida. If it's Yontif, it's Yontif. It never stops. It never stops. All the music, everything is just to accompany the Levites who are singing these mizmorim. Why? Because he did it for God. He dug all the way down to the Tehom, to the abyss, to that place where it looks like there is no light. King David dug all the way down there, and you know what? There's so much desire there that it threatened to come up and flood the whole world, because water is a metaphor for desire. What's down there is the desire that God has for us. That can only be revealed if King David is ready to put his ego completely, just not even there. He doesn't even have the ego here. So the Zohar Kodesh calls him Bat Chene de Malke. He's the jester of the king. He says, the king says, "Have you seen my banana peel?" And David doesn't even ask what the banana peel is for. It's like, "Oops." "Oh, isn't that funny?" And the king laughs. What's the job of the jester? The job of the jester is never ever to make himself look clever. It's never ever to make himself look better or handsomer. His job is only one job, is to make the king smile. And because King David is absolutely ready for to be the Bat Chene de Malke, to be the jester, to the one who keeps on falling on the banana skin, Ribbono Shel Olam chooses him for all eternity as the king, as the most noble and most aristocratic and most royal of all the people ever to walk the face of the earth. David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. It's always Midah Keneged Midah, right? It's always measure for measure. As low as David was ready to make himself as ignoble as he was prepared to be, that's how God ennobles him. Now, these shittim that he dug, these holes that King David hewed all the way into the center of the earth. Now, God says, I want you Yidl, anytime you want, you can bring some wine. It has to be wine, not Yain Migitoi. It can't be wine that comes straight from the barrel. It has to be wine that has been allowed to ferment, because it says Yain V'Sheicher. It has to be wine that can make you shikker. Right? So even though we paskin that you want to make kiddush, you can make kiddush on grape juice. You can take some grapes and squeeze them. But you couldn't do that in the Beis HaMikdash. The wine that you used for Nesuchim has to be alcohol. It has to be fermented. Because it has to make you shikker. Because only when you shikker, only when you're drunk, the all your inhibitions leave and you become ready to be the batchen of the malke, to be the jest of the king, and to fall. And God says to us, after all the story is over of the worst thing that we ever did, which is even worse than worshipping the golden calf, when we rejected the land of Israel and we want another God, God says, you know what? You guys, you can bring the wine that makes the shikha, and you can pour it and down into the Tahom through those holes that King David dug, because you also are fulfilling the command to be available to me. And this is something that we've talked all these weeks, the whole book of Numbers, once again and again and again. Every mistake that's happening is really a mistake that happens exactly the right time, exactly the right moment. And the Nois Desha says, you know, what was it that the Rosh Sanhedrin, I mean, like, what was going on? He said they could see clearly that God is not going to let us stay in the land of Israel. We're going to get thrown out again and again and again. And they said, we don't want that. We don't want to go into the land of Israel if you're going to be throwing us out. And, you know, the Medrash says, God says, Atem bechisem bechir shel chinam, you cried a cry for nothing. I swear I'm going to give you something to cry about. And so Tisha B'Av and all the bad things, you know, the Chom Beis HaMikdash, all these things happen on those days that the spies came back. But the Nois Desha says, why does the Medrash say Bechisem Bechir Shel Chinam? Chinam says Zechanu Es Hadoga Asher Achalnu B'Mitzrayim Chinam. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt for nothing. Meaning, what does for nothing mean? It was no work to get fish in Egypt. You just went to the local canal, whatever. Everybody had these waters, and it was just full of fish. You could just pick the things up. Chinam, you know, God says to Yoina, you're crying over this kikoyon, over this tree that you didn't work, you didn't plant it, you didn't raise it, you didn't. What are you crying for? And that's what God is saying to us, you know, like, you're crying that you're not going to be in the land. What work have you done to get into the land? I'm bringing you there. Did you make this land? Are you fighting for this land? What effort are you putting into this land? So that's the Atem Bechisem Bechir Shel Chinam. You're crying over nothing, over something that you haven't toiled for. But you know, the Rosh Sanhedrin, they were looking at us, and we say, Rabbi Shalom, we know what you've got planned. Noiru Alilo. You are the master manipulator. And why does it have to be this way? Why do we have to go into the land and pretend that, oh, we're so happy he's brought us into that, and pretend that it's not going to be a disaster down the road? Why do we have to be like this? We don't want to be like this. And God says, "Bahadad de kosher rachmona lamalach." If I've hidden it from the world, what are you revealing it for? Things that are hidden, leave them hidden. Just live your life. And they say, we can't live our life. We know, God, we know this is not going to happen once, not going to happen twice. Just you do it again and again and again. We don't want you to be like this. And when the Torah says Nitna Roish, we said we want a different God. It didn't mean that we wanted this kind of idol or worship, that kind. No, we want God to be different. And you know where that comes from, that a person says, God, I need you to be different than you are. That only comes from rage. That comes from being so angry that, you know, I say to the person I love, I need you to be different than you are. I mean, like, what kind of thing is that to say? And we, you know, we got so caught up in our tantrum, which is what this was. This wasn't like when we were at the golden calf and we said, no, we want God down here, we want in a different way, we want a priest to... No, we were speaking directly to God. We were saying, you have to do things different. You have to be different than you are. We're just not going to accept you. So in doing that, we lock ourselves into this rage that God then does the same thing. He locks the rage. He says, no, I'm not forgiving. And this is really the only time we find in history where God says, Chayani, I swear I'm never going to forgive you. Because we swore we're never going to forgive him. And the amazing thing is that that's exactly what God wants from us. At that moment, that's what God needed from us. Why? Because God is the master manipulator, and it wasn't time for us to go into the land of Israel. And God had promised Revi Yeshuvahino, he'd said to Abraham, the fourth generation will come back here. And we were the third generation. And everything that we are given is a reward. That's the meaning of Ein Odam Oimed al Divrei Torah Elam Kim Nechsho Behem. It is those mistakes that we made back then in history that bring the Torah into the world. There wouldn't have been a Parsha of Nesachim. There wouldn't have been that story where the whole Jewish people made God rejoice the way that King David, you know, by slipping on those banana peels, makes God laugh. That the Ishbitz are telling us is what we all did at that moment. We were making God laugh, and you know, in our rage, we were like these children that go into this charade, and then God says, well, you do this, well, I'm going to do this, and then, bang, it's all wrapped up, it's finished, and we're not even aware that we've done exactly what we were supposed to do. Yeah, what can you say? Just that it's time for God to open our eyes. Gal einai v'abitun eflois mitoreh secho, that he should open our eyes, that we should see how much we have been doing what we're supposed to do, instead of always kicking ourselves for, oi, how much I've been doing that I haven't been supposed to do. Bless you and me. We should have our eyes opened. It's coming, you know, the month of Tammuz and Av are called Einayim. These are the eyes. Let's be blessed with eyes.